Could we turn, please, to Psalm 1? Psalm 1, please. And we'll ask our sisters to come again after the reading of Psalm 1. We're challenged, I'm sure, many times by the Psalms and how you turn to them yourself for comfort and for encouragement, especially when things are difficult. People will turn to the Psalms, and rightly so, because David experienced many conflicts, many battles, and how the Lord used them then to write most of the Psalms for us. And we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And we're trusting the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Well, it is nice to be back again tonight and to see each one here. And maybe this is a very familiar portion, Psalm 1. But I'm just going to break it up in two tonight. The first three verses. I have here the progressive Christian. I wonder, could we be labelled that, a progressive Christian? One that would be making progress. Or have, maybe, could there be someone here tonight, and maybe you've got stuck. You've got waylaid, as we would say. And you don't seem to be making any progress for the Lord. There's a lot here in this psalm. You could look at it in many ways. There's some questions I have here. What is a Christian like? Is he one that wears a badge? You know, Jesus saves? Or, you know, is there something special about the person outwardly? I'm sure there's thoughts maybe in your mind. What is a Christian really like? You probably have in your mind, if you're not a Christian, one who is honest, and that's, you should expect that, one who would do you a good turn and would be kind. What is a Christian? And then I have another question. Who is a Christian? Well, I believe you know tonight whether you're a Christian or not. Some people think that they've been brought up in a good family background and that would be enough to be a Christian. Brought up in a Christian type of country. But just to look at this portion, the progressive Christian, we see right away in verse 1, blessed. And how they, that means really joy. That means contentment. It means being redeemed. Could you say tonight that you have got contentment? And the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll bring nothing out. Having food and clothing, let us be content. And could you say tonight you are content because you've got food, you've got clothing, you've got sins forgiven. You're a happy person in the Lord. And I often quote this, happiness is to know the Saviour. Living a life within his favour, having a change in my behaviour, happiness is the Lord's. Real joy is mine. No matter if the teardrops fall, I have found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart. So you think about this man, this woman, young person. Can you say there, as we look at verse 1, blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman or the young person. Can you say that you're blessed? You've got joy in your heart, as our friends were singing. Could you identify with that? That you're content, you're redeemed. So first thought I have here is our salvation. Our salvation. And if you were to turn with me to Acts chapter 2, Acts 2 and verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. We read here, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." So note there, repent. It really means that you are sorry, that you want to stop what you're doing, and that you want to turn your back on it, and that you want to trust Christ as your Savior. Think about it. Can you say tonight, that's what you understand salvation is all about? That you know you were guilty, you know that you're hell deserving, and you know that Jesus came and died on a cross for your sins and shed his precious blood. And you know that, and you know you need to repent, really repent, really mean it, because the Lord, he knows about your heart. And how, once you do that there, you'll want to accept his word. You'll want to obey his word. And that's why if there's a Christian here tonight, how that you can obey his word also by baptism, if you're not already baptized. You can see it in this portion. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's a good sign of a Christian. Can you say you're saved? And if you're saved, were you able to break bread this morning? Remember the Lord in his own appointed way. You love the word of God. You love fellowship. You love to be involved in prayer. Those are signs that you're alive, that you really have a salvation. And so that's what I want to start off with in Psalm 1. Our salvation. Blessed. You have that contentment. You've got redemption. You've got joy. But not only that, but we see here in verse 1, we see our separation. Our separation from that downward path. And we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Our separation. I wonder, do you know what it is to be separate? Now, I know there's a danger, and we have discussed this earlier on. We're mentioning that in the back room. And how it is difficult to keep the links with the unsaved when you become a Christian. We don't want to get contaminated, but we want the contact. And I believe there's good advice here for us. We should look at people and see if they're sinners, and we could pray about them, we could ask them to come along to a gospel message like this, to hear it. And so think about separation. It's good to have salvation, but there's also a need for separation. What about Lot? Lot went down into the world, slowly but surely. And next thing he looked, and there he was, Sodom and Gomorrah. And think of Lot going into that wicked city. And he saw initially the ground was good and it would be good for the animals and everything. And step by step, he was outside and then he was inside. And how the Lord allowed him to even escape. So think of Lot. But what about yourself tonight? If you're saved tonight, what about separation? See this watch? We have to learn to watch where we walk. In verse 1, it says here, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Walketh not. Well, we have to watch out. Don't follow the advice of the wicked. You know, if the wicked are saying something that's not right or according to God's word and his will, then we don't do it. We don't walk in that advice with that counsel. Then we're to watch where we stand. It tells us that. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't stand with sinners all the time. Don't be always in their company. Because we need to have Christian fellowship. Yes, it's good to have unsaved contacts, that we are prepared to reach out to them, but we don't have to do what they're doing to win them for Christ. And so it's a delicate balance, especially for a young Christian. You could be so enthusiastic to go out there and reach the lost before you find that they would have you gradually slipping, missing the meetings, missing fellowship, and before you find you are in a backslidden condition. So we have to be careful. So watch where we walk, watch where we stand, and watch where we sit. It says here, it's, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Watch where we sit. Don't join in with the scoffers. Really, that's what it means. Could you imagine, it's possible, a person who gets into a backslidden state and spends all his or her time with sinners? What happens? You gradually start to think like them and act like them. And so there is a need for a Christian to be separate. So remember, we want contact without contamination. We want that. The progressive Christian. We thought about our salvation, our separation. But now in verse 2, about our study. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You look into God's word and you want to find his will for your life, especially if you're a young person. How that you'll be doing exams and you want the Lord to help you with exams. You want to decide on some subjects what you want to do, your career, and how God can guide you through his word. He's able to do that. And he has a purpose for you, especially if you're a Christian. He has a place for you to serve him. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Can you say that tonight? You love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. So your delight is in God's word, and you meditate on it. If you waken during the night, you can allow some verses to come to your mind. Even during the day, you can allow those thoughts to come and think over it. And that's good for the Christian. Not only do we see our salvation, our separation, our study, but we see here our service in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We're not just a spring Christian. We're not just, you know, a summer Christian or a winter Christian. We are an all-year Christian. And that's good. It's good to see that. And the Lord's able to allow us to bear fruit for himself. Our service, we want to be fruitful. We want to be well watered. And so a tree, I remember, didn't realize for a long time the problem we had when we came to Killyleagh first. We had the water came in from the mains, and outside the house there was a pipe that the joint had separated, and we used to always get dirty water. And but there was one thing about it, we tried to find out where it was, and there was a field between us and the road where it came in. And so eventually we found out where the leak was, and you can guess, we should have known. It was actually underneath a tree that wasn't that long planted. But what do you think? It was bigger than the rest. It was stronger. It was getting the water. And the roots, no doubt, were getting plenty of refreshment. And it was bigger, I say, than the rest. Wonder tonight. Every Christian has roots. We are rooted. We are part of the true vine. We're rooted in Christ. And a Christian that has good roots, then we're going to have fruit. And the Lord wants us to be fruitful. Just like the, remember, the woman at the well. How the Lord Jesus Christ himself said to that lady in John 4 and verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Can you say tonight that that's what you've got? You've got everlasting life. And you desire to live your life for the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit, it tells us in Galatians 5 and 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And do you know that? Do you know it's all is well with your soul? So we've been thinking there of the progressive Christian. The progressive Christian. Can you identify with salvation? You've repented of your sins. You've trusted Christ as your Saviour. And can you identify with separation, the need for separation? Because some people feel that they need to go so close to the world so that there'll be no difference. But we are told in the Word we're to come out from among them. We're not to do what the ungodly are doing. We're not to do that. We're to be different. Others should take note of us that we have been to Jesus. And so that's a challenge. Our salvation, our separation, our study, and our service. But now, that's the progressive Christian. What about the perishing sinner tonight? The perishing sinner. Sometimes I believe there could be those maybe in the meeting. I don't want you to doubt your salvation, because it's a wonderful thing to know that you're saved. But I believe there are many people in Ulster tonight, and they have made a wee profession somewhere along the line, and it's just not worth that. There's been no change in the life. There's no reading of the Word. There's no praying. There's no fellowshipping. There's no remembering the Lord at the table. There's no evidence. And I want to challenge you tonight. Is there evidence? And want to say, is there evidence in my life that I'm saved? I was brought up in a very religious family. I thought I was a Christian. I'm glad I heard the gospel. Heard the gospel preached faithfully. And I found out to my horror that I was a sinner and that I was lost, and if Christ would come back, I'd be left behind. And that was a shock. That was a shock. But I am glad that it took it all to bring me, to humble me down, to that pride would have kept me back. And I realized it's not by religion, it's not by good works that I could boast. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ alone, his death on the cross for me. And so it's good to be saved. It's good to make progress, the progressive Christian. But what about the perishing sinner from verse 4 of Psalm 1? The ungodly are not so. See, the godly are not like this, what we have read previously in the other three verses. But what are they like? It tells us this, but the ungodly are not so. The ungodly haven't got salvation. The ungodly haven't got separation. Most ungodly people don't study the Bible. Some might read the Bible, but then they don't have the Holy Spirit to illuminate it, and it's a dead book to them. And the ungodly cannot be in God's service. The ungodly are not so. But are like what? How does the Bible describe the ungodly? They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Like the chaff. I wonder tonight, as you think of chaff, of the wheat, not that I am an expert in this here now, but you can understand, I'm sure, when the harvest time comes, the chaff is something that is allowed in the past anyway. They might have new practices now to be able to take it away. But in the old tradition, how that they would be able to put it up into the air in a handheld sieve, and the wind would carry the chaff away when they disturbed the wheat and the chaff, and it would leave the solid wheat behind. And see tonight, that's a picture of the Christian, as we have God's sieve, and how the Christian secure, surrounded by the Lord. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're in his everlasting arms. But you see the sinner? The sinner, there's no value as such. For as far as God is concerned, the sinner is like chaff. Can't do anything for God. Can't be involved in the service. Can't go to heaven. Kept out of heaven. We're thinking this morning, how that what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's no profit. So the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The perishing sinner. You know, what is a sinner like? What is a sinner really like? A sinner outwardly could look like the rest of us. We're all sinners, but some of us have been saved, and many of us have been saved by grace. We're saved. And we're not chaff. We're not going to be just blown away. We're not under the judgment of God. We're not under condemnation. Praise the Lord, we're not. Therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So think about the perishing sinner. I want to read out of Matthew 7 and from verse 13. Now, what is a sinner like? What is a sinner like? Well, these are words of the Lord Jesus here in Matthew 7 and verse 13. And there's a command here. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Sinners are popular people. People do like to be popular. they like people to think well of them. And there's going to be many, Jesus said, on the broad road that leads to destruction. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, hungry wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is a sinner like? As I said, a sinner's popular. There's plenty of them. And they dress the same, probably, as the way we do. Some would even talk the language of a Christian. Some people would think they were a Christian. But see, the Lord, he knows the heart. He knows, have you ever been converted? If you know anything about salvation, if you know anything about separation, if you know anything about study, anything about service for the Master, the Lord knows if you are the progressive Christian. But what about the perishing sinner? Who is a sinner? Who is a sinner tonight? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly in Romans 3 and verse 10. I have a lot of references here out of Romans. And it is good to read, because when you look at the word as well as hear it, you'll remember a lot more. And Romans 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we're all sinners, every one of us. And then down there in Romans 3 and 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. Then in Romans 5 and verse 1, it tells us, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then if you're to turn to Romans 10 and verse 9, Romans 10 and verse 9, we read these words, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then verse 17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not by works, we would say, of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So what is a sinner tonight? What really is a sinner? Really chaff. Ungodly. That's how the Bible describes them. Doesn't dress up the sinner, make the sinner respectable, acceptable to God, A sinner will never be acceptable to God in their own righteousness, because we have none. But Christ, he died on a cross. He's able to give us his righteousness and put it into his account, or our account. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Is that you tonight? You're either wheat, you're either a Christian, or you're like chaff, and the wind driveth away. What a picture tonight. What a picture of the sinner. John the Baptist said this about Jesus in Matthew 3:12. He said, the chaff will burn, it'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's how it'll be burnt. Unquenchable fire. It'll never go out. People have this idea, you see, that your punishment, when you die, you die. And if you're a Christian, your soul goes to be with Christ. But if you're not a Christian, then you're annihilated. That's not the gospel. Gospel and the Bible never teaches that. It teaches us that we have an eternal soul that'll never die. And that soul, if it can't get into heaven, then it has to go to an awful place the Bible calls hell. I was walking into the hospital ward earlier in the year, and I heard something. I heard this from a man who I was going to visit. He never had attended our church, but I'd heard about him in hospital. And I heard this comment coming. He was speaking to the nurse in front of maybe four or five people in the ward. He said this. He said, I'm going to die. Out loud. He was a countryman. I'm going to die. And this man's not saved. So this nurse said, come on ahead. And she encouraged him. And she knew that I was visiting there. And so I was talking to him a wee while. And I said, I heard something there that you're talking about that you want to die. He said, yes, I can't stick it. I can't stick the pain. Well, the thought that hit me was, here's a man, he wants to get away from the pain. And you'll hear people say after a funeral service or during a funeral service, they'll say, it's happy for them. That's a lie, if they're not saved. The pain that they had, whatever it was that was destroying their body on earth, is like a picnic compared to what it would be like in all eternity. With no release, no medication. See, people think that God would never do that. But God, there's only one option, and that is to come to the Saviour tonight. If you want to be punished for your own sins, then that'll happen. And you'll never, ever be able to escape. But you see that man, I shared with him, I said, look, do you see, if you die and you're not a Christian, well, you'll have more pain than you have now. And I knew the man was agitated, and I prayed with him and I left him. Came back again a few days later, and he was willing to talk. Usually over the years since I came to Killyleagh, I got to know this man, and he would always let me talk about the Lord up to a point, and then he would say, we'll not talk about it anymore. He just seemed to cut me off. But you see, now he's not cutting me off anymore. And he listened, and then he said, what have I to do? What have I to do? And you know, that man, he prayed in the hospital ward. And he asked God to forgive him his sins. He asked Christ to be his Saviour. Well, that man had peace then. And he was able to tell his own son, who came in to visit him, that he had trusted the Lord. That man was an elderly man. He really wasted his whole life. I wonder tonight, whatever stage you're at, are you going to wait till you're lying in a hospital bed and you've only got maybe days left, because you might never be in that position? You could be taken away from the scene of time. Any of us could have a heart attack. Any of us could be involved in an accident. But you know, it is appointed unto men and women and young people once to die. You don't come back again in another existence. You only die once. But after death, the judgment. And I trust that you have come as a sinner to Jesus, and you're not going to suffer eternity with no escape. It's not a popular message, the perishing sinner, just like the chaff. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You know, we often use this, maybe you don't use it here, but people talk about you having a leg to stand on. And we know what they mean. And the sinner will not be able to stand before God and excuse themselves and say, look, we've been doing no harm in all our lives. We expect to get into heaven. But you know, the shock is people actually who attend church will end up, some will end up actually leaving church and going into hell. Do we believe that tonight? Do we really believe that our friends and loved ones and neighbours who are not saved are lost? Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Are you lost tonight? Well, the Lord Jesus wants to find you. He wants to save you. He wants to change you. He's able to convert you. And he's able to put you into service, give you a life worth living. Then in verse 6, we read here, thinking the perishing sinner, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Do we believe it? If you're a sinner tonight, and you can grasp this truth, that you are lost, you are going to perish, you're going to be punished for your own sins, I trust that you will surrender tonight and say to the Lord, ask him to forgive you your sins. Tell him that you're a sinner and you deserve to be punished. You deserve to be kept out of heaven. But you want the Savior to come and forgive you, to cleanse you from all sin. You see, because the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows you tonight if you're a Christian. He knows all about you. The progressive Christian, they've got salvation. No question about it. They have separation. Yes, they'll study the word. They're involved in the service of the Lord. That's the progressive Christian. That's what a Christian's about. A Christian is one who knows they're saved and they're going to heaven. But see, if you're a sinner tonight and you know it, you really know it, well, you're a perishing sinner. And that's what Christ came. I quoted this morning, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and I am glad of that, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Note that. Should not perish. But have, what's the alternative to perishing? Have everlasting life. Have you got it tonight? Do you know Christ is your Savior? I trust you have, you know him as Savior and Lord. So where do you identify tonight? Are you identified with the first part of the psalm, the progressive Christian? Or could it be the latter part and you're the perishing sinner? I trust that you will come tonight as a sinner to Jesus.